Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. So if you go there, you'll be able to find all sorts of content regarding Republic Review and how we can reclaim the Republic. You are listening to the only show that asserts the constitutional solution to restoring the Constitutional Republic and putting the federal government, or the general government, as I like to call them, back into the framework of the Constitution. And so the number to call in, if you want to call in today, is 215. It's not different than yesterday, but I figured I'd tell you anyway. It's 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. I want to also let you know that as I'm reaching out to all these county chairs, legislative chairs, and those running for state legislator, this show is really dedicated to those grassroots leaders and those who are choosing to serve in the state fray. And so one of those things that I am trying to do is I'm trying to educate them. Remember, we do not have time to educate 300 million people. And just getting a million people is going to be insurmountable with the amount of time we have left. And so that's why we have to target those people who are in service. And hopefully they are good constitutionalists and they're patriots and so forth. It doesn't really matter what that little party pin says. What really matters is where their heart is and where their head is. And if they recognize that we're living under federal tyranny, then there's a good likelihood that they'll step up if there are a leader. If they're not, that's why we're also educating those grassroots leaders so that they can recognize the fact that they've got a job to do because they've got somebody in that seat that needs to be replaced. We have to start, they may be really nice people, but if they're not willing to do their job, I don't know how many times I've been in management and leadership where I've had a manager or a leader underneath me fail to take the action necessary or have that difficult conversation. I get it. Nobody likes doing it. But we have to start getting very comfortable with the fact that there's lots of difficult conversations that need to be had. I think that they're talking about Medicare and Social Security as coming up to literally rolling off the cliff. And so if we're not going to start having these difficult conversations, then it's going to get really difficult when all of a sudden that fund dries up. And so that's why we have to engage it now, and we have to leverage it without it leveraging our liberty. And so it's really important that we target those 5,445 state legislators. So with that, if you do want to call in and you happen to know me, I have my three C's. First off, if you know me, I go by GR on the show and out in public. So please refer to me as GR. So that first C is being confidential. The second C is being civil. I think most people know what that means. And being concise. Even I don't know what that means because it takes me a whole hour to get an idea across sometimes. And so I know it's difficult, but I'm here to help, especially when I call these state legislators and chairs and so forth. I tell them who I am and what I'm doing, and I go, I'm not from the government, but I am here to help. And so they usually get a chuckle out of that because how many times have you heard of, well, we're from the government and we're here to help. Let me also point out that I have the very, very important YouTube video that is out there that I truly believe needs to be watched by any patriot. There are plenty of opportunities coming up this summer that I think would be a good time to have there's nothing more patriotic than watching something that's going to teach you about the Constitution. I only ask that you consider watching the first 30 minutes of this video. And it's on YouTube, so you'll look at the link and go, oh, okay, it should be safe. And it'll take you to a horrific image of me, and I will basically walk you through Republic Review and the argument for it. To find this, this is on reclaimingtherepublic.org. It's on the Take Action page, and it's just underneath the two PDF slides that I use within this show or within this presentation. So if you have a mailing list, send that link out to people. If you have friends and neighbors that, you know, have nothing else to do, have a block party and show that video. There's no monetizing to this video, my friends. This is strictly trying to get people to get informed, because I truly believe, how many people do you know that would easily do, you know, they take their last penny out of their bank if there was a guarantee that they would, you know, triple, quadruple, 100 times, you know, guaranteed return on their investment? Well, I'm going to tell you that if you look at this presentation, you should be able to walk away with 100% guarantee that you are going to understand how simple it is, and all we've got to do is exercise the authority that the Constitution gives the states as the stakeholders of the Constitution, and voila, we have actual results. We will get results. We will get the federal government out of our knickers and back into doing those things that they should be doing. And I know some of you are probably thinking, well, I kind of like some of the stuff. No, none of the stuff that they're doing, it may seem okay. Like the Bureau of Land Management may seem okay. It's not hurting you. But I will tell you that there have been people that have lost property. They've lost their cattle. They've lost even lives. And I hope to have Jeanette Finnicum on. I know that she's very busy with doing her book tours and also trying to educate people on her late husband, who was basically assassinated at the hands of the FBI and the BLM. And so, or you can say the deep state, but bottom line, I know she's busy. I reached out to her, and we were supposed to connect, I think, last week or the week before. But anyway, I'll try once again to connect with her, so that she can let us know where they stand in this process of their court case moving forward, and what else she has on the horizon. But I've got to grovel. I don't grovel every day, but I will today. I do need help. If you have time, if you've got a little bit, you know, an hour or what have you, I'll take what I can get. And if you're willing to learn a little bit, it doesn't take much. This is not rocket science. As I read through these ratification debates and everything else, and I'm providing you all of this data, there should be very little approbation on your part or any apprehension that, you know, you can do this. Because if I, who I consider probably the dumbest person in the room, see how dumb I am? Anyway, if I consider myself not the brightest bulb on the tree, then I think that you should be able to get your arms around this and understand what needs to be done, and you too can become a leader. That's, you know, what does it take to be a leader? Does it take education? Does it take a degree? Does it take something specific that society gives you? No. What it takes is the conviction to take a stand and do the right thing. Because the difference between a leader and a manager is a manager will do things right. This is the process. This is what you're supposed to do. And that's what you do. And that's what managers do. A leader recognizes that there's something wrong, and they stand up and they do the right thing. And so that's all I'm looking for, are people to recognize that there is something wrong and it is time to do the right thing. So as we move forward, I always check, and I once again checked today, and lo and behold, there is no sign that the federal government is going to get any of its fingers out of our knickers. It is going to continually reach from these federal court judges and from the bureaucracies and so forth. I mean, even today, it seemed like when Trump was talking about the EPA, what a great job he's doing. I think it was Pruitt or whoever. And it really doesn't matter who. You know, I'm bad with names. But what really matters is the fact that that is an egregiously unconstitutional agency. It has no authority whatsoever by the Constitution. And yet we continually surrender to it and its bureaucracy, its unlawful bureaucracy. And so what is it going to take? Remember, at the very beginning of the show, I started throwing out marketing. Maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to recompile a list so that I can go through marketing once again, so that people can go, you know what, that is a terrible laundry list of tyranny that we're living under. We do need to do something because it can get worse. And believe me, there is no stopping tyranny once it actually takes a foothold in society. Because look at what it's doing today. It is actually taking your dollars and funding abortions. It is funding wars. It is doing all sorts of things that it has no business doing. So what we need to do is we need to take the stand and force the federal government to give up all of its unconstitutional powers. And there's a process to doing that, and we can get into that later. However, as I always say, I've got this question. If you want to have a conversation, and believe me, I'm a very simple person. I want to listen to your point and what have you, but I have a standing question, and if you're more than interested to, come on and talk about where in the Constitution the federal government gets the authority to create and manage land for reservation purposes, for any kind, then we can discuss that, because we can literally go through the Constitution, and I'll pull it up while we're talking, and I will point out where you can find these things, and I will guarantee you that you will not probably find anything. Now, keep in mind, there are these things called ratified treaties, but I think you'll even have a hard time finding something like that. With that, I know that music means something, and that means that I have some people that have paid, which we need to render some time to. So let me take a hard break here, and we're going to hear from our sponsor and a couple promos, and I will be right back after this. Thank you very much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And I didn't get a chance to get into the Red Pill Expo, but I'm not sure how many of you are planning on going. Considering this is Red State Talk Radio, one might think many people listening and or are subscribers or regular listeners would want to go to that. And so if you know people that live in the area, in the Spokane area, might be a good time to drop in. The Red Pill Expo goes from the 21st to the 23rd of June. So it's just a few weeks away. And so I know it's getting close. If you're going to have some kind of engagement this year, as a matter of fact, I tell people, because you know I'm one that asks you for money, but I'll ask you for money for supporting me, but during the election year, I would rather you save every penny you can and help these candidates that we get to basically commit to the Constitution by basically signing our pledge. And so what I ask for you to do is to make small contributions to these candidates so that they can get across the finish line. Because I know that if thousands of people are sending $5, $10, that's a lot of money that can help, especially in a small state, or I should say a state that typically doesn't have a lot of money to spend, or the average campaign doesn't spend a lot of money. I mean, it's one thing in New York, New York City, LA, and so forth. There's thousands and millions of dollars because there's lots of lobbyists that are contributing and so forth. But when you're out in these very rural red states, there's not a lot of focus and not a lot of lobbyists that are interested in, creating some kind of advantage for their business, because there's not a lot of businesses out there. So in other words, getting you to contribute is huge. And so I understand that it may cost a little bit of money to come to this Red Pill Expo. But it may be one of your better expenditures, because I think what you're going to get in the information and how you'll be able to meet people that will probably become lifelong networking associates and friends and so forth. This is the second time they've done this, and last year it was a huge success. I truly believe that these things are going to start growing. And as a matter of fact, I'm actually looking to use these little expos or these big expos, because this is an international expo. I'm planning on using Red Pill Expo to do these small local expos, these small Red Pill University type of exhibits and or promotions for Republic Review and educating grassroots and so forth. And so if you live in a red state, then we will probably be coming to you. I just need to work the details out and so how we can get these expos started so that we can start traveling and helping you take back your county, your party, and your state legislators. So with that, I do ask you to consider taking a look. It's at redpillexpo.org. So in the news, another judge rules against Trump on the sanctuary city case. This time it was in Philadelphia, that says, hey, you know, these states have, you know, anonymity. They have the autonomy from the federal government on what they do. And so, you know what? This is going to end up biting them in the butt, especially if you understand state autonomy and state rights and state power. I hope this actually blows up in their face, because bottom line, the judiciary is getting involved in all sorts of things that they have no jurisdiction over. Correct? I mean, we just talked earlier this week about homosexual marriage versus religious expression. Religious expression is actually a protected right, and it's not a civil right. It is a constitutional right. And there's also these laws, abortion laws in Arkansas, and I think the other one was the heartbeat law in Ohio. Both of those states are basically poking the federal government in their eye, saying, you have no jurisdiction over these things, and we are going to, you know, take these things back. Well, so as I look at this, I think that this is the opening of the door so that the states can start really looking at, well, do they really have any authority? Now, if the federal government has any authority in any of these things, one would understand that the Constitution does vest in the federal government the standards of of a natural or a uniform standard for naturalization, what it takes to be able to do that. So in other words, Philadelphia or Pennsylvania, California, and all of these other states have no authority to establish what it takes for somebody to become a citizen. Therefore, if one considers voting, driving, and those types of things privileges of a citizen, then those states are bucking the federal government's constitutional authority on what is the uniform process of doing or naturalizing an illegal alien or a legal alien, an alien in their state. And so, I think that this is going to blow up in both ways for the progressives, because bottom line, everywhere where you find sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, California's crime rate's gone up. Every place that has implemented these types of policies, you will find the crime rate is going up. And so I have to feel sorry for Philadelphia. And it just so happens to be on the heels of yesterday when they were supposed to have this celebration for the Philadelphia Eagles, who wanted to make a political point out of this whole thing of kneeling. And I want to get into that too, because there was some kneeling yesterday. But here's the interesting thing. The federal government, and I'm going to dig it back up, because John Marshall is the one that opened this door of unconstitutional footings of allowing the federal government to reach outside of its jurisdiction. So I want to read to you what John Marshall said during the Virginia ratification debates, because clearly he is contradicting himself from what he was saying in echoing and parroting all of the Federalists like Madison, Nichols, and others, and saying, you know, the jurisdiction is limited. The scope of what the federal government can do is very limited. And he goes down this path in his rulings to say, oh, well, we can do anything that we deem necessary and proper. And that's crap. I guess there's no better way to put it. That is stinky crap that John Marshall was doing as the Supreme Court jurist. And what he was doing was self-aggrandizing the Supreme Court and self-aggrandizing the federal government to be able to reach well outside of its boundaries, because they believed having an unlimited national government was the ideal type of government to have. And they had no idea what they're doing. And I'm not going to judge them whether they're going to hell or anything like that. But I will say this, that he knew. He knew what he was doing, and he deliberately made the decision and chose to basically lie in those rulings to help create unconstitutional footing. So, like I said, I'm going to get into that. But before I do, did anybody notice that there were protesters kneeling during the national anthem, which I think is great. I am all for people being able to protest for the national anthem if they want to. However, if the national anthem is playing and you are, you know, it is a corporate gig that is playing that national anthem, and that corporate gig has a conduct code that says you're going to behave this way when we play the national anthem. Let's say you're in the Marine Corps. Let's say you're in the armed forces of any kind, and they have the standards of how you are to behave during the national anthem. If you're outside of uniform, you stand at attention. If you are in uniform, and uncovered, you stand at attention. If you're covered and out in the field and the national anthem is playing, you face the music and you salute. You render the proper courtesies to the national anthem. Now, if you're working for a private corporation, let's say like the NFL, and the NFL has a policy that states that you will stand on the sidelines with your helmet under your left arm and your right hand will be on your chest, and you will stand and face the flag, because that's what the old, and it never was rescinded, that was the existing policy for the NFL as their code of conduct and their behavior. And so as all of a sudden people started going beyond that, and because the NFL decided not to go after these people and holding them accountable, because they have a social justice warrior as Roger Goodell, then you are going to have this type of problem because they're not enforcing their own policies. So I'll wrap up on this, these policies with the NFL and this whole thing when we come back right after word from our sponsors. Thank you very much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so when you look at Pete Rozelle and what he did as the commissioner, he established these policies a long time ago because patriotism went hand in hand with our sports, professional, amateur, it didn't matter. Patriotism went hand in hand. And over the few years that we've had these radical, secular, progressive presidents from the Bushes, Clintons, and so forth, they started allowing. And as a matter of fact, under the Bushes, and, you know, Bush himself was the grandfather, or I should say, the guy that started creating the deep state. All that being said, what we have today is these individuals who want to be able to protest. Well, that's fine. Do it on your own time. But when you're doing it as a corporate citizen with your corporate culture being called by whatever the policies are, because Goodell deliberately threw those policies out, or he decided not to follow them, and hoodwinked his players and allowing this upheaval. I am fed up with the NFL. It is great to see, you know, the XFL coming forward, and I would love to see a real good competition, because I would actually like to see the NFL just go away because they're irrelevant. My life, and I'm hoping that your life, is not defined and is not a part of the big scheme of sports, as well as what's the best word for it? I hope that our self-worth isn't dependent upon whether our team has won the last game, is going to win the next game, is going to win the championship. I hope that our self-worth is dependent on what we do today in helping others, and what we do tomorrow in helping others. And one of the best things that we can do as a society and as people, because remember, enlightenment is the way of improving our society gradually, one step at a time. And the best process of improving our society is education. And even though entertainment may be great, there are lots of things that we can be entertained by. We don't have to be insulted by these, what do you want to call them, overpaid, indulgent children that want to have their little social fits. Because remember, this isn't about justice. This is about social justice. This is about the redistribution of wealth, opportunity, and so forth. And go look it up. Look at what social justice is. This is socialism, and that's what these people are doing. And it doesn't really matter what race, creed, color, ethnicity, language, or anything else. When it comes down to it, and I've talked about this before, there is an organ grinder that is moving this progress, or I should say the secular progressive or Platonist agenda forward. One big player is Soros. And so maybe he's the organ grinder, and you have all of these different, and I mean a variety of every type, every species of monkeys on strings dancing to the tune. Whether they're entertainers in Hollywood, whether they're the mainstream media sitting in front of the television or behind the microphone, parodying the narrative so that you are beaten with a barrage of repetitive concepts. As a matter of fact, I got engaged, and I guess I'm going to go on a little tangent here. I got engaged in a social media discussion with a log cabin Republican. And I basically said, hey, you're not to be very specific,
But I will tell you that if you understand the Log Cabin Republicans and all these sub-factions, they're all bad. The Republicans need to get rid of all the sub-factions that are within their camp, period. Because what they're doing is they're allowing division to destroy them. Because that's, you know, you've heard of house divided cannot stand. And any type of faction is a divisive mechanism within the overall party, within the overall tent. Even parties themselves are factions of the society. Washington warned us about the parties and the factions and their influence and how divisive they were. Later on, Teddy Roosevelt came out, and I'm not a fan of Teddy Roosevelt, but the one thing I loved that he did was he wrote an article on the hyphenated American. Bottom line, he came out and said, if you're a hyphenated American, then what you are is an anti-American. Let me make that clear. If you're an Irish American, Italian American, British American, whatever you want to put in front of American, that means that you're putting that in front of being an American first. And it's the same thing with all of these sub-factions. If you're a woman's Republican, a log cabin Republican, you're putting your agenda in front of the party. And so the party really does need to redefine itself. And it needs to define itself on those core principles that really caused the division of the party itself to create new parties. Because as we know, the Libertarian Party broke away from the Republican Party in 1971. And in 1991, the Constitutional Party broke away. Why? Because the Republican Party has lost its founding or its grounding on those fundamental principles of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. It became a big government party. And so it is critical that the party gets back to individual liberty and individual sovereignty and then literally sends all of these sub-elements or sub-factors packing. There's no room under the big tent for a cluster of little tents, such as the log cabins or any other type of demographic Republican, whether it be women's, black, Hispanic, white, Asian, I don't care. There is no room under the big tent. Either you're a big tent or you're a cluster of little tents. And that has been the problem with the Republican Party. And that's why it's really important that we start looking in context to the individual liberty, individual sovereignty, instead of, well, we need to get these types of things so that we can get this agenda forward. You know, no. Pack it. We have no room here for personal agendas. We have every expectation that people who get involved in the big tent are here to support and restore the Constitutional Republic. And so in doing that, then we actually take the high ground because we're being inclusive of all people who are willing to support individual liberty and individual sovereignty. It's the separatists, the Nazis, the Black Lives Matter, the La Razas, and all of these other groups that want to create their own little spin, let them go back over to the left, and that's where they belong anyway, because they're separatists and they have their agendas, and having state control the outcome that gives them an advantage one way or another. And so there's no room over here in the big tent of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And I'll tell you that when we take this position, you're going to find lots of Democrats that are going to say, you know what, I believe in that too. And they're going to find themselves as they start analyzing what the Democrats stand for is a bunch of divisiveness and a path towards subjugation and slavery. So what do you want? Do you want to take this country back? Then we have to start grounding ourselves on those fundamental principles that the framers grounded themselves on. Because like I said, I've said this so many times, the framers were capable. The reason they were so successful is they were capable of putting aside their self-interests, what was best for them and their family. And they put aside their differences, whether they be economic, religious, or what have you. there is no room into the big tent for a, you know, particular faith. I mean, I will say that America is fundamentally Christian based on natural law, and the Republican Party should recognize that and establish natural law as its fundamental plank. You don't then have to basically say, well, we're the evangelical party. No, because that becomes a sub-faction. It should be inclusive of all. And as a matter of fact, it's even natural law can embrace Jews, because even Jews believe in individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And I'll even say this. I believe Sikhs and I believe Buddhists and other faiths, except for Islam, believes in individual liberty and individual sovereignty. Islam believes in subjugation to Muhammad, and that you must subjugate or die or be enslaved. That is it. And so that's really the only outlier that we have here in America. Well, with that, I'm sorry I went on a rant, and I was supposed to get into that John Marshall ratification. And so I will try my best to do that, but I haven't even talked about the elections yet. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so, as I was just ranting, I wanted to get into the election as well. There's really not a lot to go into because, as I've been saying, probably but about 70-80% of those who win the dominant party for the county, for those basically the state positions, because the only one that really fluctuates, and it really doesn't fluctuate because I am telling you that we have a 2 to 5 year window to step in and take back the Constitution before it is discarded. Why? Because either we discard it through a democratic process because the secular progressive education system every year is turning out 10 million voters to engage in the election system. And these kids are being programmed to throw away their individual liberty and your individual liberty so that we can be subjected and protected by the statists, the Platonists, the communists, because they have been inculcated and brainwashed into believing communism is the only way we can all survive. Because global warming, because of racism, all these problems will be cured under communism. They're convinced of this. And this should bring shame in anybody that has children in the education system at this point in time. And I will tell you, there's a good likelihood when you look at your children, you think, oh, no, not my kids, they're not going to vote for that. You will be surprised at how well they've been trained, because go back and listen to my interview with G. Edward Griffin. He was trained as a collectivist when he was growing up through the 40s and 50s. And so he was basically in support of collectivism. I was basically the same thing, that we were all trained on the fundamentals of communism in the education system. And so I want you to understand that we don't have a lot of time to counter what's going on. How are you going to take over the national education system, Common Core, and all of this crap that's getting poured down these kids' throats? Our only process is for us to stand up and get these red states to stand up. Because if you want to give somebody a quick dose of understanding the Constitution and how limited the federal government is by getting a state to stand up for republic review and auditing the Constitution, period. That's the only way to do this. And so let me try to move forward then. And as I always try to say, as we engage in our battles, if we are not using the Constitution in fighting these battles, then we risk almost certainty in losing these battles. Therefore, the only defense and the only weapon that we can use that will basically overcome our objective, or I should say our obstacles and our enemy, is the Constitution. And so it is clear that for us to move forward, we need to do this. And let me get back onto the election. I know I glossed over this, but I will tell you, if you look at the election right now, it seems like everything's the status quo. Do not be surprised in November if the outcomes are not what the polls and everything else seems to be reflecting. It all depends on whether we have an overwhelming illegal aliens voting in California to overcome those Republican seats. And it's the same thing in other places around the nation. Illegals are injecting themselves just like these kids are coming out of school. Do not be surprised when all of a sudden the outcome of elections seem to be going in the wrong direction, because old people are dying. The patriots of this nation who understand the Constitution to some degree are dying. And so how are we going to inject this type of providence in these puerile children? It's a tall task. It's a tall order to be able to overcome. And so let me see if I can get through this, because it's a few paragraphs. As I always say, are the words that I'm about to cite from the founding documents, are these the words of deceit, or have we been given a bunch of lies from our professors and our education system, lawyers and politicians who is lying to us? And so John Marshall basically says, Mr. Chairman, this is a part of the plan before us, is a great improvement on the system from which we are now departing. Here are tribunals appointed for the decision of controversies which were before either not at all or improperly provided for. That many benefits will result from this to the members of the collective society, everyone confesses, unless its organization be defective and so constructed as to injure instead of accommodating the convenience of the people, it merits our approbation. After such a candid and fair discussion by those gentlemen who support it, after the very able manner in which they have investigated and examined it, I conceived it would be no longer considered as so very defective, and that those who opposed it would be convinced of the impropriety of some of their objections. I perceive they still continue the same opposition. Gentlemen have gone on the idea that the federal courts will not determine the causes which they which come before them with same fairness and impartiality with other courts' decisions. What are the reasons for this supposition? Do they draw them from the manner in which the judges are chosen or the tenure of their office? What is it that makes us trust our judges? Our independence in office and manner of appointment. Are not the judges of the federal court chosen with as much wisdom as the judges in the state governments? Are they not equally, if not more, independent? If so, shall we not conclude that they will decide with equal impartiality and candor? If there be such wisdom and knowledge in the United States as particular state, shall we conclude that the wisdom and knowledge will not be equally exercised in the selection of judges? The principle on which they object to the federal jurisdiction seems, and here's the key word, federal jurisdiction seems to me to be found on belief that there will not be a fair trial in those courts. If this committee will consider it fully, they will find it has no foundation and that we are secure there as anywhere elsewhere. What mischiefs could from the results of them being tried? Is there not the utmost reason to conclude the judge's wishes appointed the indifference? I'm going to skip down to the next paragraph. These, sir, are the points of federal jurisdiction to which the objects, with a few exceptions, let us examine each of them with a supposition that the same impartiality will be observed there as in the courts, and then see if any mischief will result from them. With respect to its cognizance, in all cases arising under the Constitution and the laws of the United States, he says, the laws of the United States being paramount to the laws of the particular states, there is no case but what will this extend to? Has the government of the United States power to make laws on everything or every subject? No. Does he understand it so? Can they make laws affecting the mode of transferring property or contracts or claims between the citizens of the same state? Can they go beyond the delegated powers? Here, Marshall is clearly admitting that the federal government is limited to the delegated powers. Their jurisdiction cannot creep beyond that. And I'm asking you, why is it that we are looking at a jurisdiction of a federal court that is unlimited today? Why is it that we have no boundaries where the federal court is dictating whether a woman can go and abort a fetus or whether a baker can choose not to bake a cake for religious convictions and or conscientious objection? I am telling you, the federal court has no fight in this. They have no jurisdiction. You've got to remember that the few things that they have jurisdiction over in the Bill of Rights, the amendments of the Constitution, and the Constitution alone, does not give them any jurisdiction. They have no jurisdiction over how much water your toilet flushes. They have no jurisdiction on the type of elements and sources that you light your house with. Those things have been left to the states. And so the reason the states have kind of allowed the federal government to doing all of this is due to the fact that then they can blame them and they don't seem like the bad guy. So the big, big bad government is the bad guy. And it's just like playing one parent against the other, except it's the child against the parents. I've got to go, or I've got to at least say goodbye to those who are on the terrestrial line, and please stand by. I'll kind of wrap up what we're doing for tomorrow when we get back. And so I have to bid everybody a fond farewell that are on the standard terrestrial airwaves, but I will also say this, that I think it's really important that we start looking at these ratification debates like I've been looking at them. And we're going to try to get, I've got some computer problems. I'll tell you about those tomorrow, but I'm hoping to get into the North Carolina ratification debates tomorrow. So please stay tuned and I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you very much.